I'd like to explore the income tax.
I mean, yeah, we can just explain, you know, this is it's just something that it's an additional piece to talk about.
There are no other sizable sources of revenue generation other than those two.
Not when you're talking millions of dollars.
Unless we want to, you know, sponsor the school, high school naming rights.
Again, you're not going to have millions of dollars. You know, I mean, it's just the other piece that, you know, that, you know, to be honest with people, I mean, you know, we've been very, very, very fortunate here over the past 10 years or so, okay? Because when that last operating levy was passed in 2006, okay, you've seen really over the past 20 years here in Westlake, you've seen expansive new construction, okay? And that has offset the need for additional, you know, revenue. Where you see, you know, districts like Shaker who are going back, you know, to the voters, it's because there's no, I mean, they're an older community, okay? You know, they're landlocked. Most of it is built up, although I don't know what they'll ever do with St. Luke's there, but, you know, you have, you know, they're not doing a whole lot of change, you know, in that community. Westlake has been very blessed with the explosive growth over the past, you know, 5, 10, 20 years, you know, driven a lot through Crocker Park, but also throughout the community, and that has allowed for tax rates to remain much lower. Unfortunately, as I look at the forecasting saying, okay, over the next 10 years, do we see that same growth happening? And I'm not sure I see where that could even happen at.
City's almost built out.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of where we're now put in that pigeonhole of other communities where we are kind of built out and we're going to have to go back to the voters because new construction just won't support us anymore.
Yeah. When you go through your research, can you ask around maybe some of your peers in Northeast Ohio or anywhere really that would have a similar demographic to Westlake to see if they've considered it, the income tax, if they've ever tried to do it, you know, any kind of, you know, feedback you can get and insight would be great for us.
In my former district, we did consider it.
Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Okay.
We considered it. We opted not to do it. The city raised their income tax to 2.5%.
Was that before or after American Greeting Society?
That was before.
Oh.
Yeah, that was apparently one of the driving factors for American Greeting.
<That's laughs>
you know, so for us, you know, it made it difficult because at the time, Brooklyn had the highest income tax rate, you know, in the area.
Yeah.
Or one of the highest. They were tied with a number of them. But and right now, you're seeing most communities between 2 and 2.5% right now. Is where, you know, we're the oddball out at 1.5 here in Westlake.
Yeah.
You've got, I think I saw somebody, I think Oberlin's sitting at around 3%.
Yeah,
so, you know, they're kind of on the other end of that scale.
And I don't know if that includes the school part.
I believe that would include the school part. Any other questions on the forecast? I really ask that you would look over the assumptions. If you have questions, if you feel something that needs to be revised, please let me know. I'm happy to take your input on it and make sure I can present something that the board will accept at the next board meeting.
Sure. Anything else for that?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. All right, I have two relatively quick recommendations if we can get to propose to you to vote on. And one is resolution to approve some updated handbooks. These are handbooks that we've had in the past but have updated. You did receive these a couple weeks ago. Most of the changes on these were dates and making sure that the links are active. Only major change in the ESL handbook, language changes, ESL to ELL, which becomes English language learners, based on the terms used in federal legislation. New home language survey required by our Lau Center. There's a new screener, and we also created a new individual plan of support to assist regular education teachers. There are four handbooks on here. It is the ESL program handbook, acceleration handbook, early entrance handbook, and gifted handbook. And if you do have questions, I do have Mrs. Maxwell to answer some of those.
So it'll just take a while until we get used to saying ELL instead of ESL.
Correct.
Those things always trip me up.
It's, we're a business of acronyms.
Yes, I know. You and the military.
Right.
Is there a resolution, is there a motion to approve 3A, the resolution to approve the 2018-2019 handbooks?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Thanks for all the work on it.
That was Kathy and Alex and her teams.
I was looking at you.
Okay, good. Can't see over there.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Only other resolution that I have on the agenda tonight is requesting that we approve a contract for purchase services with the Cuyahoga County Board of Developmental Disabilities. I did add a blurb in board docs for you. Stephanie gave me a good explanation, which I'll share. This agreement is for technical support services. Services include assistive technology assessments and trials, augmented communication trials and consultation, behavior and curriculum specialist support, curriculum and FBA is functional behavior assessment support services, travel training services, and business engagement services as well. Rest is listed out for you, but that's the contract that we have up for approval tonight.
Is there a motion to approve 3B, the resolution to approve contracts and purchase services?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Dr. Goggin, what you mentioned just a moment ago, that's part of the new business relations liaison, is that right?
Or? It is not. No, this is not the business advisory. We are actually, we have that going through the ESC, and that first meeting is Wednesday, and since I'm going to be at Rotary, Kathy's going to attend that for us and be able to bring an update.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Moving on to the treasurer's recommendations.
All right, I think I have six resolutions here. I will run through each one, and if it's okay with the board, we'll combine them into one vote. I did add a couple things on today, and I just wanted to explain why we've done that. The first one here is I'm asking the board to amend the student fees for the 18-19 school year. As we're working through school fees and pay to participate, okay, we're trying to make sure that there's not any overlap over the two, okay? So in school fees, what we've done is we've removed some of the music classes, like marching band. So marching band has a pay to participate fee with transportation. It really is a co-curricular and not really an academic fee that we're charging. So we removed it from the academic fee table because it's covered under the pay to participate. We're not adding more fees or anything like that. We're just trying to clarify what's pay to participate and what is an academic fee. The main reason for that is, remember, academic fees are waivable. They're waivable of all of the students who are under free and reduced by board policy. So we're trying to clarify what's an academic fee that should be waivable to our students, and what's a pay to participate fee that is not subject to being waived because it's really an extracurricular or co-curricular activity. So in the fees, we removed some of the music programs. What we're viewing is that we want to make sure that all of our students have access without a fee, okay? Or at least if they have a fee, it'll be a waivable fee for the base level, band, choir, and orchestra. We don't want anybody, you know, feeling that they are missing out on an opportunity because of a fee there. So those are, you'll see, are I don't believe we're charging a fee on any of those three. And they're not, I'm asking the board to remove them from pay to participate as well, because they would be, we view them as academic classes. So as academic classes, they're completely, you know, contained within the school day, with the exception of maybe, you know, a concert or a few concerts during the school year in the evenings. But marching band, for instance, you know, is a real easy one comparison. You know, that really, while they do marching band during class time, the focus of marching band is being at the football games or competitions, not necessarily just the academic side of it.
So marching band is pay to
participate, which it always has been.
Yeah, it currently is too.
Would you say band, choir?
Band, choir, and orchestra, the base level of, would be academic and would not have a pay-to-participate fee. And if they needed a fee, it would become an academic fee that would be subject to waivability for free and reduced students.
And what was the rationale for the marching band? Because they're marching?
No, because it's, the majority of the time is spent outside of the school day.
Outside of the school day?
Yeah, so when you look at it from the academic side of it, it really, while we give credit for it, okay? Or show choir is another good example of that, okay? While we have them meet during the school day, okay? The purpose of that is really more of a club or activity for after-school events.
But say as an example, in the quarter, which is most of the time in that quarter, they do get an academic grade.
They do, absolutely.
For their performance in.
They do.
In marching band, so it's kind of.
Correct.
I'm just trying to sync those two together there.
So I guess, you know, and this is, these are some of the topics that we've had discussed with Ms. Maxwell and Mr. Wilson, the music department. Mrs. Apple has been so kind to help out as we're working with the fees as well. And the rationale behind some of this is, can you be in marching band, okay? And say, hey, I work a job, so I can't be there for concerts.
You can get excused absences for certain things, but then it does ding your grade. That's the thing.
Okay, then the reality of it is, if you're requiring them to be at after-school events, okay, you know, you would have to, you know.
For a grade.
For, well, sure, but I mean, our Algebra 1 class, how often do we require kids to be, for an academic class, do we require students to come in after school, you know, in the evenings or weekends?
And, no, but the majority of the time that the students for a marching band is during the school day, technically during the school day. It's just one night a week, a Friday, and then a few hours on Wednesday. But the majority of that is typical school time.
It would also be band camp during the summer.
Yeah.
You know, any competitions that they do, you know, as well. Memorial Day parade, other parades. And that's where we're trying to weigh the between the two. Because a good example is there's significant costs in marching band.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that something that, and it's never been waived in the district before.
Right.
Is it something that should be waived? And that's, you know, that's for the board to decide here.
Do we have any kids that you know of, and it's been a bugaboo of mine for the couple of years, is I don't want any kids not being able to participate because they can't afford to pay.
In marching band.
Well, in any.
In any pay to participate.
In any pay to participate, any club or athletic team.
We don't have scholarships established.
Correct.
But I think what he's saying in here, when you look at band.
You could still participate in band, choir, or orchestra.
Right.
Okay. And there would be no cost to you.
By moving it the way he's talking about moving it.
So yeah, what we're saying is that, you know, and it really, as we found, it's mostly in music, because over the years, a number of the music classes have become given a grade. Show choir is a great example. You look at most districts around, you know, show choir, our Company D is not traditionally a class, you know, per se. It's a after-school club. You know, we've made it, you know, as part of the academic day, which is fantastic. Not trying to change any of that, okay? And for all the years so far, it has been considered pay to participate. As we were asking the principals to put together a list of what fees they charged, okay, it was put in the fee schedule that we approved. And if we recognize it as an academic fee, we're required to waive it. If we don't recognize it as an academic fee, and you know, an example would be, you know, in theory, although it may not be a grade, you can get credit for playing football for PE. You get a waiver for PE, so you don't have to take PE.
Yeah. You get
We certainly wouldn't waive, you know, the pay to participate on football because they're getting an academic credit for it.
Yeah, that is not the best analogy.
I'm just saying that's where that is a, an area where they're getting academic credit for, you know, for, you know, so they don't have to take that AP elective. I think if they do a two varsity sports or something like that. So, I mean, that's where, so what I have before the board, and we can, you know, the board can handle it how the board wants to handle it. But what I have before the board here tonight is the student fees and the pay to participation table. And the goal is on, with the pay to participate and the academic fees, is just clarifying that all the things that were pay to participate in the past are still pay to participate. And then the ones that are identifying the academic fees, because we haven't approved academic fees in the past, and we should, because if we're collecting a, you know, a fee, that needs to be board approved by our own policy. So, you know, the academic fees that we've identified would remain academic. The pay to participate that has historically been pay to participate would remain pay to participate. The ones on pay to participate that I've removed, which is our letter B, I've removed band, choir, and orchestra from pay to participate.
Should we be, since we're talking about that, and I appreciate the conversation, should we actually be reviewing the actual document of the pay to participate by, I mean, we were approved, because it's not there.
I sincerely apologize. I thought I attached it.
Yeah.
I can certainly get you a copy of that. I have it right on my computer. I apologize. I must not have hit save when I attached it. The pay to participate.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I mean, we'll be meeting again pretty shortly.
Yeah.
But
correct.
I, on both those items, I prefer a table.
That's fine. That you can make that motion.
Do you know if we've had any parent feedback about the pay to participate since we initiated it?
I have not received calls about it.
You've not heard anything?
No, not too much. I'm trying to think. There hasn't been any formal. Maybe there have been comments, but I can't remember.
Okay. Because it's been, about 4 years?
Right before Dan Keenan left.
Okay.
So is there a motion to table 4A, right?
4A and B, I think.
4A.
4A and B.
Well, do we have to table the handbooks?
No, already done. That's already approved.
No, it's treasurer 4A and 4B.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the superintendents. Okay, I move to table the treasurer's recommendations 4A and 4B until our next board meeting.
Second. Yep.
Discussion?
So generally speaking, when the board tables a motion, it automatically will be moved to the next board meeting.
Okay.
So we have to do nothing else. You'll see it on the next board meeting. Okay. Of course, you could always table it again, but it just automatically gets moved to the next one.
Okay.
And it tables with a motion and a second, no vote?
No, we would need to vote on a table.
Okay.
Yep.
Roll call.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.
My apologies. You know, when I went through this earlier.
And like I said, I've added them today as we were, you know, putting them on there.
Yeah.
Our goal is just to clarify one over the other. It's no changes. It's just clarification.
Okay.
C I have on here is to purchase two new school buses. So we have in our plans, in our PI budget, for this year is purchasing two buses. We were planning on doing it a little later in the year, but we've had a bus come up with some frame damage that is not repairable, and we're currently borrowing a bus from another district. These are the big transit style 84 passenger buses, so these would be purchasing two of them. I put details on the agenda there. I believe where you can actually bring up the picture of the bus, that type of stuff. These are purchased through an Ohio Schools Council bidded price.
I'm looking at these.
So they are brand new, and they are not in use right now.
No, they're brand new buses.
Okay.
They're direct from manufacturer.
And they got a CD player, an MP3 player.
Yeah, they have all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Green seat.
No navigation.
Yeah. No navigation. That's not allowed.
One question, because it said the white roof. Is that for safety reasons, the white roof?
Mr. Kosovar, do you like to?
There are several style buses, white and yellow. I don't know if there's any safety or visibility reason behind that. I have heard the white with the white strobe light for fog. Sometimes will be a little bit more reflective, but I've not seen much studies on that.
Can you explain what convertible seats are?
Convertible seats?
Yes, it just says, it's a line out. It says convertible seats, seatbelt ready.
Yeah, because I had a question on seatbelt ready because I see there's some pending legislation that may require future buses.
I'm not sure about the term convertible seat. I believe the convertible seat is the bench seat, and I think that's another term for it. And seatbelt ready seat frames are normally what's been coming out in case there's a need to go to seatbelts in the future.
Okay.
And I was reminded for the special ed buses, there are those points in there for seatbelts for children, for smaller children.
I'll, if it's okay, I'll go through the other, the next couple as well. Next few, and then we'll do them together. I have D on there as a execution of lease addendum. This is a lease for a cell tower at the bus garage. We have a cell tower with a company called Crown Castle. I think it was originally Ameritech or wireless or AT&T wireless. I think it's gone through a number of different iterations. Currently, we have a long-term lease with them. This is making an addendum to the lease where we would increase our monthly income going about $150 more a month. We're right now around, I think, $1050, $1049 per month for the use of the property for the cell tower. It also gives us some rights to share in money that's generated from tenants on the tower. And it gives us automatic increases every 5 years of 15% on the base rate. Additionally, it has a $75 to $100 signing bonus. We've reviewed it, had to go through our attorneys. I believe it's a good deal. I don't think there's any reason that we would not be happy with this, but it is making an addendum to the lease at the bus garage. We also have contracts and purchase services. These are two contracts. These are for our annual audit. We have the state auditor's office. This is not a choice. we do go through an annual audit. Yep. They tell us what the price is. There's not a whole lot of options there. The second one is we do have a choice. Julian Grube is the company we've used. They prepare our CAFR and do our what's called our GAAP conversion, taking us from a cash basis to a GAAP basis for auditing purposes. They've offered us a 3-year contract. We could do it on an annual basis. It's quite a little bit cheaper by doing a 3-year. We've used Julian Grube here for the past number of years. We've been very happy with the work that they do, and I would recommend that we continue to work with Julian Grube. They're actually located out of Columbus, but we do everything electronically with them. I also then have some then and nows that we'd like to get cleared up before on the 15th payroll. So we have an ESC, a placement of a student, a Spanish first class. This is actually out of St. Bernadette. And then we have a suburban school transportation. This was some when we need to contract with a third party for transportation of some students.
Is there a motion to approve Treasurer's recommendations 4C through 4F?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
On the buses, I can't remember the last group that we.
Yep.
I don't know what the number was, but didn't we lease those?
Well, we did a lease to purchase, okay, in order to finance the 10 of them, because we didn't have the funds to pay for all 10 at one time. We did a lease purchase, a 6-year lease purchase. So it's not a traditional car lease type situation. We own them at the end of the 6 years.
Where are we at in that?
This would be year
this year. Three? No, we've only made two payments so far.
2-year payments.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So, and because we're only buying two, and there's...
Yeah, at the price of it and only resources. Buying two, we have the resource in the PI levy. Yeah. The PI funds would be used to make these purchases.
Great, thanks.
Further discussion?
Just one question on Julian and Grub contract.
Yep.
Is that a 3-year contract?
It is a 3-year contract. Okay. It's a fixed price for each of the 3 years, $11,300, I think
okay.
is what it
yep.
was.
Mm-hmm.
And then It would tie us in for the next 3 years with them. And that's not, they don't do the state audit, they just prepare our CAFR and do the gap conversion, and that's the piece that we really pay for is the gap conversion.
Okay.
Further discussion?
No.
Roll call?
Fanouken?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.